Our scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, from verses 25 through 34, which will tie in with the fourth request from the Lord's Prayer. The fourth request is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And these verses from Jesus' continued teaching in that same context elaborate on part of what it looks like to trust in the Lord, not just for bread, but for all that we need. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen. Would you also answer with me the single question of Lord's Day 50 from the Heidelberg Catechism? What does the fourth petition mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Amen. It may at first glance seem unnecessary to exposit this little phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." It seems plain enough to us, and surely for many people around the world and also throughout history, the meaning of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is obvious. At this moment, nearly 50 million people around the world face emergency levels of hunger. And malnourished and starving people have no illusion about their ability to provide for themselves. "Give us this day our daily bread" means just what it says. Lord, feed us. And many people would not have to ask further questions about what this means. But what about us? What do Jesus' words mean for people who have never prayed for food with anything like a sense of panic? I mean, most of us, when we pray, if we pray something like the fourth petition, we do so supported by ample assumption that we not only already have in our home everything that we need to eat, but that when that runs low, we'll simply go out and get more food. So we don't pray with a sense of panic, a sense of deep neediness. Many of us live as though we are, in fact, able to meet our needs. We aren't starving. We aren't impoverished. But Jesus is, in fact, saying the same thing to us as he has always said and will always say to hungry and poor people. In fact, we're not really in a different situation than hungry and impoverished people. For all our material wealth, we too are just a few steps away from dust and ashes. No matter our situation, then, the fourth request of the Lord's Prayer calls us to stop trusting in human strength and ingenuity and to look to God for everything we need. There are two parts to this call of the fourth petition. There is a physical part and there's a spiritual part. And we'll look at those two parts in turn, understanding, first of all, that the fourth petition is, as it most plainly seems to be, a prayer for physical help. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for physical help. Let's consider that first of all before turning second to the reality that the fourth petition is a request for spiritual understanding. First of all, it is a prayer for physical help. The surface meaning of the request is plain. Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs. Jesus is teaching us here not to overlook our physical needs. The Bible teaches that human beings are made up of body and soul. The connection between the two is so intimate that only death separates them. And we see then the beauty of that connection and the importance of our bodies when we look to God's creation of Adam as a very concrete and graphic reminder of what we all are. We see there in the creation of Adam the beautiful symbiosis of the two constituent parts of humanity. Listen to Genesis 2, verse 7. God formed man of the dust of the ground. There we see the body, the physical part of man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living body. So, very simply, what this description is telling us is that without souls, we would be inanimate shapes, formed with parts, proper parts and all the rest, but inanimate. On the other hand, without bodies, we would be little more than wind. And so instead, what we read in Genesis 2 is that God made us embodied spirits or animated, inspirited bodies, if we prefer to look at it that way. And so we need to see here the beauty of who we are and what that means for our prayer lives. The imagery of God forming our bodies, and in this case, the body of Adam, but that same idea is brought into Psalm 139, God knitting us and forming us, molding us, each one. Whether we come into life as Adam did, apparently as a rather full-grown adult, or as we do, very small people. The imagery is beautiful. The potter here is working with his clay with a gentle strength, caressing, smoothing, shaping, to use David's words, knitting, forming. What we see here is a loving God expressing his love of his people in our bodies. He's communicating love through his forming of bodies. And so Jesus is simply reminding us here in a most basic sense that God loves bodies. Jesus not only taught us this prayer to pray for our physical needs, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, but he also in his ministry cared for bodies. We read beautiful words, didn't we, this morning about how Jesus promises rest for weary souls. But that's not all that Jesus does. Jesus also provided food for hungry stomachs. He did so on several occasions, perhaps regularly. Not every instance, of course, is recorded in the Gospels. He also commended through his teaching the virtue of meeting basic physical needs. We considered not too long ago Matthew chapter 25 and Jesus' commendation of the saints who provided, he says, for himself by caring for the least of his brothers and sisters through food and clothing and visitation of bodies in prison. And of course, Jesus not only commended the virtue of meeting basic human needs, but he made a practice of doing it himself. We see the love of God for bodies, God's love for bodies in the ministry of Jesus. And of course, we see the love of that God has for our bodies in his promise at the resurrection, reform our dusty bodies into glorious, powerful bodies. The resurrection, of course, is not a rejection of our of the fact that we are embodied people. It's a ratification of the significance of our bodies. He's elevating in the resurrection the status of the bodies that he has called us to dwell in now. And so theologically, what Jesus is doing here is he's teaching us that we may not so spiritualize the Christian life that we neglect the body. Of course, our spirituality matters, but so does our physicality. We should notice that what Jesus is doing here is that he is injecting into a prayer packed with spiritual concerns a request for our most basic physical needs. He's embedding this prayer for our physical needs in the context of a well-lived spiritual life. And of course, he does so because we live out our spiritual callings in physical bodies. Right? What does it look like to live in the kingdom, or to do God's will, or to extend and receive forgiveness? What does it mean to flee from evil? Well, it means doing all of those things, not as disembodied spirits, but as fully embodied people. And so we need to pray for our bodies. We all also would recognize how much the actual, literal condition of our bodies affects our spiritual lives. We just take, for example, the most literal interpretation of this fourth petition. He's talking about bread. He's talking then, at least most explicitly, about food. How spiritual are you when you're hungry? How godly are you when you when you feel like you're starving, right? When we're hungry, even though we don't know hunger in an extreme way, but even when we've been hours without food, we're not always on our best behavior, right? We might get easily angered. In an extreme case, the Bible talks about a person stealing food, being hungry, breaking that commandment out of hunger. Or take another example of what Jesus is teaching us to pray for here. When we're sick, when we're tired, we might have less physical stamina to resist temptation. If we were to examine our own relationships, our closest relationships, we probably would see that some of our worst behavior toward family members, it comes in those times when we're tired, when we're exhausted, when our physical bodies are in need of rest. When we're sick, we may despair of God's promise to care for us, to love us, to look to an example from the book of Job. It's I think, reasonable to say that Satan made a confident bet when he told God in Job chapter 2, verse 5, touch Job's bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. The state of Job's body, Satan understood, was not unrelated to his walk before the face of God. Chronic pain can contribute to spiritual discouragement. John Calvin, who himself was a frequent sufferer of often debilitating digestive problems, sometimes had to preach sitting down and endured all kinds of other horrible medical treatments for some of his conditions. Calvin taught this, that even when we pray for our physical needs, it should be toward the goal of living for God's glory. We live for God's glory in physical bodies. And so, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, life, of course, is more than food and drink and clothing. As Paul taught, the kingdom of God is more than these things, eating and drinking. But we do need these things to live our lives, not just in a bare physical sense, but to live the spiritual life. We need basic wellness. And of course, as Jesus says in Matthew 6:32, God knows it. God knows that we need all these things, food and clothing and shelter and health. And so what God is doing here is he's inviting us to pray for the bodies that we live in, understanding that these are bodies that he made, that he knows, that he cares for, and bodies that he will one day resurrect and recreate among the faithful. And so the fourth petition we need to understand is, first of all, a prayer for physical help. It's right for us to pray for physical help. Now, of course, it's wrong for us if our prayers for physical help dominate our prayer lives, because we are more than food and drink and clothing and so on. But it would also be wrong if our prayers for the spiritual life, so to speak, neglected the fact that we live in bodies. And so we're praying here for not just bread. The word bread stands in for all of our physical needs, being the most basic need that we have, food, so that we might live for the glory of God in our bodies. So the first part of this request is for the physical needs that we all have for ourselves and for others. We should pray like that. But second, the fourth petition is also a prayer for spiritual understanding. In other words, the fourth petition does not have as its ultimate goal that we would be well fed. That's important, to be fed, to be well fed, but that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of the fourth petition is that we would better know and trust God as the giver of that which we need for our bodies. And so as we pray for daily bread, we also pray for a healthier spiritual life. And we do that in two ways. First of all, we pray through the fourth petition for diminished confidence in human labors. We're praying here for diminished confidence in human labors. We're not praying for diminished human labors, but for diminished confidence in human labors. And it is true, isn't it, that especially affluent people, and there's no finger pointing here because that's all of us in this room, we are affluent people. especially affluent people, do put, or are at least tempted to put, too much confidence in the power of human achievement. And you can't possibly doubt that. We've just lived through an election in which politicians make promises that seem to assume that they are godlike. The things that politicians promise to be able to do or achieve if they were to be elected is mind-blowing. You know, from the highest office to the lowest office. Just too much confidence in human power, in the advantage of human achievement. And so the warning in Psalm 62:10 is always relevant. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. I don't know what elections look like in more impoverished countries, countries where there are fewer mechanisms for advancement. But I suspect the claims of politicians are much, much lower. Here we promise the moon for our constituents. But his point is, if riches increase, do not follow what would be natural and to set your heart on them. Listen to Kevin DeYoung on this. He says words I think will resonate with us. Deep down, we feel secure when we have money in the bank, a healthy report from the doctor, and powerful people on our side. That's when we feel secure. Flip the script on that. Do you feel secure when you have less money in the bank or no money in the bank? Do you feel secure when you get an unhealthy report from the doctor or when you don't have powerful people on your side? He says this, we do not trust in God alone. We trust in God, at least our temptation is to trust in God or to feel like we trust in God when things are well for us. Our prayerlessness reveals our strong confidence in our ability to take care of ourselves without God's help. So the fact that we may neglect this fourth petition or pray it out of a sense of obligation, but without much feeling, without a true sense of neediness, reflects the fact that is in our deepest heart that we really do think that we can take care of ourselves. Remember how God warned the Israelites that after he had delivered them from Egypt and delivered them from that time of desert wanderings, he said ahead of time to them, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Deuteronomy 8:17. Because God said, I'm going to bring you into a place of freedom and wealth and affluence. And you will be tempted at that time to say, look what my hands have done for me. That's why you often have in the retelling of the Exodus, this figure of the mighty right hand of God. It was God's hand, so to speak, that achieved this, not the hands of the people. So God tells them ahead of time, right now, he says, you're poor. You were just recently slaves for 4 centuries. You've been wandering through the wilderness. You've been living in tents. You've been scavenging on the ground for food. But that's all going to change. And when that changes, you may, as you become rich, set your heart upon them and say, I did this. Look how competent I am. Look what I'm able to do for myself. So God says, be careful. Don't forget. Well, we know what happened. They forgot. They forgot. Chapter 6 previews what would later happen. Deuteronomy 6 10 and 11. They forgot. They did not build or furnish their houses. They did not dig their cisterns. They did not plant their vineyards. They did not plant their olive trees. God freely provided them. And in fact, brothers and sisters, that is always the case. No matter your situation, God provided that for you and for me. No one prospers by mere human might. So we must labor with diligence, with wisdom, to provide for ourselves, to provide for others. That's commanded throughout Scripture, Ephesians 4:32, for example. We must labor. But what this prayer is teaching us is that none of our efforts will matter if God does not bless them to our good. And we see this, don't we? We can eat healthy food and still get cancer. We can receive the right treatment for cancer and still die. We can labor diligently and still be poor. We can be rich and still be unhappy. This is sort of the sentiment of Psalm 127. We can watch as watchmen. We can watch over the city. But if God doesn't bless it, it's in vain. And every single example we could think of what we might be able to achieve, we can say through the lens of Psalm 127, 1 and 2, it will be in vain if God doesn't bless it to us. It is true in every possible way. The sentiment from the hymn, "Naked, we come to thee for dress. Helpless, we look to thee for grace." And that's really the what's behind the fourth petition. We truly are naked people coming to God for clothing. We're helpless people coming to God for help. We have the disadvantage, you might say, of affluence, by which we have clothed ourselves beautifully and we don't feel helpless. We've got money in the bank, perhaps. We've got friends that we could rely on if we don't have money in the bank. We have all kinds of blessings. And so we have this crutch, you might say, that we have to reckon with and believe, in fact, that we do not possess, neither we nor our community, nor our the country that we live in, we do not possess any of what is required for us to flourish in the fullest sense of that word. And so as we pray for God's fatherly care in the fourth petition, we are also asking for hearts that truly believe that we need God's fatherly care. So that we aren't asking in vain. So we aren't going through motions. So that we aren't saying words that we don't actually think are true. Lord, give us this day our daily bread or whatever, because we've already got all that we need. We mustn't pray that way. Lord, help us to believe that we are needy people. We plead then with God, as the Catechism says, that he would help us withdraw our trust from all creatures. Pull that trust back. Pull that trust back from politicians and from the fact that you get a paycheck every week. Pull that trust back from the fact that you're young and healthy or that you're older and experienced. We pull that trust back. We withdraw it and deposit that trust in God alone. That's the second way that we are to pray for spiritual understanding. We not only pray for diminished confidence in human labors, but we pray for greater trust in God's work. God is the only source of everything good. That's what this petition means. That we believe that God is the only source of everything good. Now, it's confusing for us, isn't it? Because we live downstream from that source and we see all kinds of good things, but we rarely see the we never see the source of the stream. So it is with God. We have all kinds of blessings, but we're not able to see literally these blessings flowing from the hands of God. And often we see the blessings coming from our own competence or the blessings of the community that we live in. But we have to believe that we are part of a stream that comes from a source, and that source is God alone. John Calvin put it this way: in our physical neediness, we pray for help to cast our care upon Him and commit ourselves to His providence, that He may feed, foster, and preserve us. We're praying that the Lord would be our trust. And so the prayer that we're offering to the Lord daily, He says, give us this day our daily bread. We're praying daily. There's a rhythm there, isn't there? There's a practice, a ritual of coming to the Lord, expressing our inability to provide for ourselves, our confidence in Him. And this is important because trust is a learned behavior. It is unwise in most circumstances, isn't it, to trust anyone implicitly. I mean, there's a sense of learning that goes into trust. And this is part of what the fourth petition is meant to do for us. We're learning to trust God by the habit, by the ritual, by the dailiness of the prayer. God calls us to cast our burdens on Him, trusting Him to sustain us. And only by a habit of asking God for our basic needs with sincerity and with genuine urgency, and only by a real awareness as He regularly meets our needs, will we develop that reflex of trust and that consciousness of gratitude. We want trust of God to be a reflex. Hard situations tink our kneecap and our leg kicks forward. That's basically what's happening. That reflex, that kicking of the leg, is trust. And we've developed that reflex by coming to the Lord regularly, seeking His help, casting ourselves on His care, and noticing when He meets our needs. If we pay attention, good gifts will witness to the goodness of an invisible God, Paul says in Acts chapter 14, verse 17. We have to pay attention. We have to see how God is answering our prayers. And as good gifts come to us, we don't pat ourselves on the back. We don't say, wow, I'm so happy for the community that I've been born into, all the opportunities that I have. We may, of course, be thankful for where we live and all that, but we trace those blessings back to the source. And we say, the Lord has given me this blessing. Every blessing is an opportunity to give credit to God, James says in chapter 1, verse 17. And here's an additional benefit of praying this way, as Jesus teaches us to pray. Not only will we develop this reflex of trust as God meets our needs according to our prayers, but when we pray for physical needs, we will develop deeper trust even when we go without. Even when our prayers for physical help are answered differently than we had hoped for. Because sometimes God humbles us with less than we would like to make us know that man shall not live by bread alone. Sometimes we have less bread. Sometimes we have less health. Sometimes we have less wealth and opportunity. And that is part of how God says to us, you live by my word. You live by my word. Satan thought he was making a reasonable bet when he said, God, touch his body and he will curse you to your face. We've read the whole book. Job doesn't curse God to his face. What Job struggled a bit, of course, but what Job came to realize was that through his poverty and through the loss that he experienced, God was faithful. He humbled Job. Job thought he knew so much going into this trial. But near the end of the book, Job is reduced to the confidence of a little child, realizing that God had been faithful. He had provided for him. And so we can develop trust even when we go without. And as we pray for our physical needs, for the body, knowing that this body will fail, we are ultimately expressing our hope in the resurrection. We're praying for bread for this body, knowing that no amount of bread will be sufficient. No level of medical care will keep us alive forever. We're really also praying in the fourth petition for the resurrection. Lord, we know that you believe in bodies. We know that because of our sin, this body will fail. But we are looking to you for that body which will never fail. And so the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a testimony to what is just simply true. We cannot provide for ourselves. We sometimes get that wrong. But through God's teaching in his word and through circumstances, we are made to remember we cannot provide for ourselves. What can we do? Well, we can ask for help from a God who is more than able to meet our needs. And so we ought to receive this teaching and be sent out by it, asking our Heavenly Father to give us what he deems best. And as we do that, let's ask him to teach us to give him all the credit, to depend on his blessing, and to learn to trust him more. Let's come to God together in prayer. Holy Jesus, thank you for answering the prayer of your disciples, or the request of your disciples. Lord, teach us to pray, and for recording that answer in Scripture. We want to pray accurately, meaningfully. And so we ask for your help in praying for our physical needs and for spiritual understanding. Help us to distrust more and more human the ability of human help to give us what we truly need, and to cast our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. We thank you for the beautiful life that you've given to us, though riddled with trials that are because of our own doing. We do look to you. We pray that you would sustain us, body and soul, until we reach that heavenly place of real, final reformation of body and soul. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.